Hello and welcome to another episode of Supernatural Scotland, the podcast. I am your host as always, Mark Smith. As we get closer to the end of the year, we are getting the colder days, which are shorter and shorter, replaced by longer, darker and colder nights. The harvest season is past and we enjoy the autumn before winter finally hits. It is a great time to share spooky stories of spirits and legends to pass the time. So settle in and get cosy for some more spooky stories from Scotland. Our first location for this episode is the Isle of Ainhallow, which is said to be the ancestral home of the Finn folk. It is often called the Vanishing Island as it frequently disappears behind a thick sea mist. This is basically the case during the winter months. It is an island of mysterious history and it has been occupied by few over the last few hundred years. It is claimed after sunset any steel or iron left in the ground would jump out or be thrown from the soil. Neither could any animals be brought to the island as they wouldn't survive. It was claimed by James Fea in his writings from 1884 that a cat brought to the island would die within minutes from convulsions. Rats and mice would escape to the sea and attempt to swim back to the mainland rather than stay on the island. This island was inhabited by the Norse many years ago and they named it Ainhelga. It means Holy Island. The island has a church dating back to the 12th century and was possibly a monastery originally before the Norse took over the island. In 1841, the island had a population of 26. In 1851, the island became uninhabited. The story claims a terrible fever broke out, killing many of the tenants. The landlord then evicted the survivors during the Highland clearances. The famous Highland clearances evicted many tenants from the Highlands and Islands of Scotland, and it was a terrible time in Scottish history. During this process, they damaged the properties so they were uninhabitable, and this is how they discovered the old church, which was being occupied by islanders. As I mentioned earlier, this was believed to be the home of the Finn folk who occupied the island during the summer months. It was believed they looked very much like humans and could trick people into believing they were normal islanders. They would wear clothes and row small boats. During the winter months, they would live underwater in an underwater kingdom. There were also Finn wives who were believed to be able to cure diseases through mysterious rituals and would sometimes be accused of being witches. Finn wives would often marry human men and appeared as beautiful mermaids while young, and would then change into uglier women upon marriage, tricking many a poor young man when they wed. On the 14th of July 1990, 88 visitors arrived on a ferry to this island. It's important to tell you that you can only visit this island once a year, and it is now a bird sanctuary. On the return journey, it was discovered they were missing two people who were never found. A large rescue operation which involved police, even the Coast Guard, took place, with no one being found. It is then believed they possibly miscounted the passengers. Old-timers from Orkney knew different. Some believed the people may not have been human and were Finn folk returning to the island to be with their own kind, or these were two young men taken by Finn wives. Some myths claim a Finn wife can prevent herself from aging by taking a human male. We will never know the answer to this mystery. The island is a mysterious place. Are you brave enough to visit on that one day a year? I think I will avoid disturbing the Finn folk. Our next location is Glasgow's Royal Infirmary. The infirmary is a large teaching hospital with about 1,000 beds. The campus covers around 20 acres of ground. The original part of the infirmary opened in 1794, and the present main building dates back to 1914. Large extensions were completed in 1982. The hospital was built near Glasgow Cathedral, on top of the ruins of Bishop's Castle, which dates back to at least the 13th century. So it already had a long history, and being a castle in Scotland, probably seen its fair share of battles and death. It originally opened in December 1794. And the original building had five floors, with one being underground. For the time, this was a large hospital holding around 100 beds. On the fourth floor was the operating room. With it being a teaching hospital, it was circular to allow for viewing. It also had a glass dome ceiling. The extensions began in 1816. With the first extension followed by a specialist fever block in 1829 and a surgical block in 1860. The next extension was for the St Mungo's College Medical School, which was created in 1876 by the medical teachers of the infirmary. In 1893, a training school for nurses was also opened at the infirmary. Over the years, much more has been added to this impressive infirmary. The infirmary was self-sufficient due to having its own farm and railway, and was, of course, used during the World Wars to help with the many injured in battle or bombings. Like any hospital, it has seen its fair share of tragedies and deaths over the years, and that's why many people believe hospitals are generally haunted by those not ready to let go or dying from tragic circumstances. There have been quite a few sightings of different spirits over the many years this infirmary has been open, but here are the more famous spirits of Glasgow's Royal Infirmary. Claims have been made of a spirit haunting Ward 27. He has been given the name Archie and can be heard by those close to death. He has been described as an old man wearing a bun net and has been seen talking to patients on their way to death. People believe he guides the dying or helps them feel at ease. By the sounds of things, he is a good and kind spirit. I, however, would like to avoid Archie for a few decades yet. It is said a floating sister can be seen floating through the hospital halls, looking normal at first until you look at her legs. Apparently, you can only see this ghost from the knees up, making her look as if she is floating rather than walking. No one knows who she is or why she haunts the halls. Could she have died suddenly here, or has she returned to the place she loved to care for the living? The infirmary also has its very own Grey Lady. She can be seen wandering the halls before vanishing through doors. Members of staff have tried to follow her, but she vanishes once passing through the doors. Again, no one knows who this Grey Lady is or what her secrets are. The most famous story which I have heard of before even researching the hospital is a very interesting story indeed. During the 21st century, a doctor was responding to a heart attack emergency, but he was asked for directions by a patient. The doctor pointed him in the right direction and carried on rushing to the heart attack patient, only to find the man he had gave directions to was no other than the patient suffering the heart attack. The man was already dead. The doctor and staff were in shock at this paranormal event. That would definitely send shivers down anyone's spine. To finish off this episode, here is the tale of Ewan the Headless. In the 1300s, there were two parts of the MacLean clan, the MacLean of Duart and MacLean of Lochbuie. They were led by two brothers. Hector the Stern controlled the Lochbuie side, and Lachlan the Wily led the Duart side. Hector had a son called Ewan, and it is said he was not the sharpest knife in the drawer. He married a strong-willed woman, we shall say, and she bullied him all the time. She was known as the black-bottomed heron of the MacDougalls. As his father grew old, his wife wanted him to be the leader who would inherit the castle and lands. Hector became fed up with the constant bickering, and a huge argument broke out, and it was during this argument Ewan hit his father over the head with his sword. Not to kill him, but to hurt him, so I presume it was not with the pointy end. Hector was livid and spoke with his brother Lachlan. Lachlan was so angry with Ewan for striking Hector, he challenged Ewan to a battle. The day before the battle, Ewan walked through a woodland and approached a stream. Ewan was shocked to see a washerwoman sitting beside the river. She was hunched over with long hair and large drooping breasts. This I believe to be the Beannai, which we spoke about in season 1. She washed clothes that were bloody, and the blood ran down her hands into the water. It is a bad omen to see this woman washing bloody clothes, and it means someone is going to die. Ewan sneaked up on her, which is dangerous as she is known to drown unsuspecting travellers. But he did something rather disgusting. He grabbed her breast and suckled like a baby. He told her he was her firstborn. If you are brave enough and can get away with it, the Beannai can grant you a wish. Stupidly, out of everything he could ask for, he asked for the results of the battle. She replied, "If tomorrow morning you are given butter with your porridge without asking, then you will be victorious." Ewan was not happy with this answer, and like a child, had a temper tantrum while cursing the washerwoman. The next morning, Ewan and his clan are having breakfast, but no one brings Ewan any butter. Ewan refuses to let anyone eat and sits in silence waiting for butter. Eventually, he flies into a rage and shouts to the servants for not bringing him butter with his porridge. He and his men leave for battle without having breakfast, which obviously is not a good start. A bloody battle begins. In the middle of the battle, Ewan receives a sword hit to the top of his head. This slices the top of his head off. Ewan somehow gets on his horse, and the horse gallops away before he dies. It is said, from then on, if any of the Lochbuie MacLeans die, Ewan the Headless will ride out to harvest their soul. And that is the end of this episode. I hope you're enjoying Season 2 so far. As I mentioned at the start of the episode, it's getting very cold now and the Christmas markets are actually opening up. So it is a great time to visit Scotland and see all the festivities. It's also a good time to check out some of the locations, because this kind of cold temperatures does add a spooky kind of feel to the locations. Anyway, until next week, I'm your host Mark Smith. Goodbye for now.